I'm in my comfort zone now, and that's preaching. And still trying to get adjusted to how leading services here. But with the Lord's help, we'll get it all worked out and go forward. Amen. I just want the Lord to have His way.
Amen.
I tell you, that's just the way I was brought up. When I was saved, you just let God have His way.
Amen.
Amen. There's no roadblocks to it. As nobody has to be seen. It's just all about Christ. Matter of fact, the service I was saved, the Lord had His way. I can't explain how it happened. I know I heard the Holy Ghost say, come, and I went.
And
was born again. Amen. Went down addicted to things and came up delivered. Didn't go through calisthenics or programs. I just got born again. That's all
Amen.
I can say to it. It's as simple as it was. And it wasn't long after that, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and my call to preach this gospel. And so just appreciate the Lord. Good to see everybody out this morning. And I enjoyed the Sunday school hour. I was ministered to myself. Had to teach, but when you begin to study the Word, it just feeds you. I'm telling you, it just begins to resonate in your spirit. So you have to always remember what we preach to you, first God preaches to us. So that's where we're at this morning. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to deal on the subject this morning, dealing with prayer. And felt yesterday morning, we had prayer meeting. Wonderful turnout here. And just really felt the presence of God here yesterday praying. God met with us here. I believe that those were helped and touched. And God's just able. And that's, to be honest with you, it's the only way God is going to move. It's going to through the prayers of the saints. Amen. We look at this church and we look around. And all of us are from different walks of life and face different things. But I'll tell you what the answer to all of it is, prayer. In prayer, God's going to deal with me to do things that He may not deal with you to do. Amen. I've got convictions God showed me in prayer that He may not show you. But there is some convictions God will in prayer. People say, how do you know to do what you do? Pray.
Pray.
You're in a valley of decision, pray. Amen. Doesn't matter what you're going through, learn to pray. And God, that's where God's going to meet with us. Amen. Luke chapter 11 today, and I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. The setting of this is that Jesus is praying, and the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder at times. I've heard a lot of good prayers over the years. I've heard a lot of good men pray. But I would love to hear Jesus pray. I don't know. I'd just love to be able to hear Him petition heaven and know that there was no doubt there. I mean, just to, you know, at times I pray, it feels like heaven's brass. But to hear Jesus pray would have been a wondrous and wonderful thing here. But the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And the Lord simply walks him through the Lord's Prayer. But in verse 5, I want to deal with this today with God's help. And I want to look at this and start in verse 5. We're going to read down to 13. And this is what it says. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you that he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall, notice that, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask of a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, notice this, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Amen. And I want to preach for a few moments with God's help, with His anointing and help, on the audacity to ask the Almighty. The audacity to ask the Almighty. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your kindness. We thank You for Your anointing and Your touch and all that You do for us, God. You're true and holy today. And Lord, we know that You're able to move in a mighty way, God. We know that You're able to touch and minister. And Lord, I look at this congregation, Lord. I know they need a visitation. I know they need the Word. God, it's Your Word that we hide in our heart, that we shall not sin against You. I know many get bored with the Word, but this morning, Lord, we ask You, let that fresh anointing, let that fresh touch come by, and let this Word penetrate our hearts so to edify the saints. Oh, we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The audacity to ask the Almighty. Now, you have to be honest with me this morning as we begin to deal with this subject of prayer, that there are certain prayers that we pray because we feel comfortable praying them. There's certain things we'll get on our knees and begin to petition heaven, and we'll begin to ask God for certain things that are really important to us. And there's sometimes in life we pray comfortable prayers. We ask God things that seem reasonable. We ask God things that seem like it's in earthly possibility that it can happen. But you would have to be honest as well. At times, I know we pray bigger prayers, and I know at times we ask God to move on situations that seem impossible. But I'm telling you, friend, there is a place in our prayer life that we can get to, that we can defy small praying. We can rise above maybe physical circumstances. We can rise above situations in life that look impossible or look like we cannot overcome. There's a certain place we can get in our walk with God that we can pray. If you'll mind me, turn it this way. Learn to pray big prayers and learn to believe that God is able to move on these things. You would have to be honest with me today that the idea of God coming down and defying all possibilities. We often we pray and ask God for something, and all the time, you have to be honest, we do it half-heartedly. We do it, but we ask amiss. We do it, maybe not really knowing that if He's going to do it or not. But I love to hear testimonies, and I love to hear stories, and I love to read about different men that can ring the prayer bells of heaven, that it seemed like heaven was ripped asunder. It seemed like God would look down and give direct attention unto them. I want to talk to you today about that audacity to learn to ask the Almighty. I read a story years ago about Charles Spurgeon. He was looking at buying some real estate, a house, and he went in one day and put in the application. He began to inquire about it, and when that man, when he went in there, there was two people looking at buying the same house. He had Charles Spurgeon on one hand, who was a man that was a pastor of a church. Yes, he had big attendance, but he didn't have quite the money the other guy had. The other guy was simply going to outbid Charles Spurgeon. But when all said was done, the man that owned the home and was selling it, when it came to the bids coming in, Charles Spurgeon's bid was way down here, and that rich man's bid was way up here, and the real estate man looked at them and said, I'm going to give it to Charles Spurgeon. His secretary looked at him and said, you're crazy. He said, that man's offered a lot more money. He said, no, you're crazy. He said, if I ain't careful, if you mess with a man of God, he'll have a prayer and I have to give it to him. Amen. Understand, there is big prayers. There is a place in our life that we can learn to be fervent. We can learn to have that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We live in this year, in this modern age, where the idea and the modern terminology is simply this. We need to learn to get connected. You know, the younger look at the older and say, man, you need to catch up and learn to get connected here. You need to come on over into this. You need to learn how to do this. I did a little research, and I'm not preaching against you things. I use social networking at times myself. With God's help, it can be a good tool. I know there's bad out there. But I looked recently, now, and then it's been a year or so ago, it said that there was 800 million users on Facebook, 250 million pictures uploaded a day. It's in 70 languages. And if it was a country, it would be the third largest country in the world. Look at Twitter. Twitter's another social network thing. It's 175 million. I know that's going up. Personal updates to friends every few moments. But this is my concern in a world that we're so worried about getting connected, maybe to a system, maybe to a social network, that one day when the electricity goes out, it don't amount to a hill of beans. When the electricity goes out, when your cell phone don't have reception, and you cannot get connected that way, we need to put more emphasis on learning to get connected with heaven, learn how to pray through, learn how to touch the throne of God, learn how to bring up petitions before the Lord, pray through over things. It's amazing to me when dealing with individuals, and I ain't saying you're here, but as I often say, if it's you, fits well, understand, it's amazing. The day you got born again, you ain't tell you what you did, you prayed through.
Yes.
But it is amazing, we served God 5 years. And we don't know how to pray through all of a sudden. Come on. The night that I got saved, I went to the altar. I say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm nothing. God, I need you. God, I need you. If you don't help me, I can't make it. You know, I prayed like that. You know what happened? God met me there. It's amazing. A few years up the road, we get the orders and we try to give God advice. We want to sit down over a cup of tea and try to negotiate the will of God about everything. But I'm telling you, friend, there is a fervent prayer life that we can get down. We can touch the throne of heaven. You can get in your prayer closet. You can know that He hears you in a world that pushes so much emphasis on getting connected to this and that. I'm telling you, friend, it is failing us. I love everybody in this room. And I love talking to you. But there's only so much you can do for me. Hear me. There's only so much you can say. There's only so much you can understand that I'm going through. I love my wife. I would give my life for her. But there's only times, even when I'm talking to her, I cannot relay what I feel. Amen. But when I talk to God, yes. I say, God, I feel this. He says, I know. God, I'm going through this. I know all about it. I'm telling you, friend, we must learn to pray. We must learn to be men and women that find a place to get connected with heaven. Understand this. Jesus is going to be there when there is no electricity. In the midnight hour, when you wet your pillow with tears, when you're going through things in your body that even doctors don't understand, when you're going through things in your mind that's about to drive you crazy, I'm telling you, we can pray. We can pray. We can pray. We can touch heaven. We can pray through. And God can meet us there. Yes, yes, yes. Hear me this morning. As I look throughout Scripture, we have so many great examples of prayer. Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer and fire fell from heaven. You read of James, the brother of Jesus. They nicknamed him Camel Knees because his knees were so callous from praying through. He was the man that wrote this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. It availeth much. You read through different history. You find David Livingston, one of the first missionaries that really, when he went to Africa, made a difference. When they found him the day that he died, he was on his knees. When they lowered his wife down into the grave, he would go 5-10 years without ever seeing her. Would just get to see her occasionally. When they lowered her down in the grave, you would tell you what his prayer was? Lord, I'll go as long as you go with me. A man that knew how to touch heaven. A man knew how to pray through. Understand, you read through history about different ones praying John High. They said he prayed so much that his heart literally shifted in his chest. Hear me today. I'm preaching this subject. And many of you would have to say, as long as I would say it to myself, I need to pray more. Amen. Amen. You said, Brother Derek, are you trying to cast a burden on us? I'm trying to draw you closer to the Savior. Yes. You said, you don't understand. He does. You say, well, nobody. He does. Our God understands what we're going through. I understand this prayer. Even the heathen pray. When we were in Africa, 3 times a day, and I may have mentioned it here, I can't remember. 3 times a day, the Muslims would come over those intercoms, 6 in the morning, screaming at the top of their lungs. Oh, it's awful sounded. I said, man, I'd rather hear a rooster any day. 1 o'clock, you go into the city, you go into Moshi there to buy food, you go in there to buy grain for the animals, or any supply. If a Muslim owns a store, you know what he does? He locks his door from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. You know why? He's going to pray. 6 o'clock that afternoon, you know what? It doesn't matter what's going on. You hear him call over the intercom. They're praying. Now, I know all that's in vain. I know all that. They're praying to a heathen God. But I'll tell you one thing. If it doesn't smite your heart to say, I want to pray more than the heathen prays. I want to pray more. They pray to a false God. They pray to a God that has ears that cannot hear them. They pray to a God that has a mouth that cannot speak. They pray to a God that has hands and cannot touch. But you and I pray to the only living God that owns this earth. This earth is His footstool. I think I'll pray to Him. Amen. Brother Zane Estes is an evangelist, and now he's working in a church. He was overseas one time, and at 6 o'clock in that morning, that thing would, the Muslims would come over the intercom praying out loud, waking everybody up. He said the Lord spoke to his heart. He said the next morning he got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he said he began to pray. And then at 6, when the Muslims began to pray, he went out on the balcony and said, "It's too late. I've already called out the name of Jesus. I've already lifted up the name of Jesus Christ." I'm telling you, church, we need to learn to practice a practice of life, a fervent life of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Hear me today, friends. When we look at this throughout the Bible about different men that were able to pray, I come to the life of Jesus in Luke chapter 11. Jesus prayed. Now, when I look at this, my mind immediately goes, "That's just the way I'm wired. I'm sorry. Why did Jesus have to pray?" Think about it. Jesus was one that was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He in whom there was no sin. He had no guilt to confess. He had no mercy to implore. He had no cleansing of heart to seek of the Holy Ghost. Yet He prayed. And if He prayed, and He felt compelled to stay away and get up in the mountains, wake up early in the mornings, and He was harmless and without sin, how much more should you and I pray? I don't have time to do it this morning. Maybe another time. Throughout the book of Luke, he prays 8 different times, and all of it has significance. But I want to get to our subject this morning on the idea of asking God boldly for whatever you desire, for whatever you are facing. Well, I'm telling you, friend, we can take it to the prayer closet. I have an uncle that really doesn't mind asking you anything. His name is Uncle David is his name, is what we refer to him as. If you had a car here today and he liked to drive it, he'd ask you. Now, I'm just not that way. I'm just kind of like, I'd just drive my own car. If you're ever having a fundraiser and trying to sell something, he's the man to have. He don't go in and ask you to buy subs or buy candy. He sets the paper on your desk and says, "How many do you want?" I mean, he don't mind. One day we were at a church event, and we needed a front end loader. I mean, an expensive machine, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And up the road was a granary that had this machine, and we needed it. And Uncle David didn't mind going up there and knocking on his door and saying, "Can I borrow that?" The man said, "No, you can't." He said, "Well, I'll send somebody down there with it." I mean, he thought he could drive it. No, he was just ready. I'm telling you, he just doesn't mind asking you anything. He's a wonderful man, good Christian guy. But I'm telling you, friend, in our prayer life, the Lord has commanded us, you can ask whatever you want to ask. If you have need of something, ask me. If you have a need in your heart and in your mind, you can ask. Now just think about it in this terms. A millionaire comes up to you, a multi-millionaire, has got more money, he knows what to do with, and says, "Look, how much money do you need? Tell me." Now, I don't know about you. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to say, "I need this much and maybe a little more." Amen? Am I alone? Understand this. But a God that owns it all, a God that owns everything, a God that has all power, a God that has all ability, when He tells the believers to ask, why do you hesitate? You say, "Well, Brother Derek, does He really tell us to ask?" Now hold on, I'm going to shoot a few scriptures at you, and they're going to come at you fast, so just duck, bob, and weave, whatever you got to do. The Bible, when it deals with asking, you'll find in Matthew 7:7, the Lord said, "Ask and it shall be given you." He says in Matthew 21:22, "And in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." In John 11:22, He says, "But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." He says in John 14:13, "That whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You'll find in John 14:14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." You'll find in John 15:16, "Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you." You'll find in John 16:23, He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it you." You'll find in John 16, He says, "Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. You'll find in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You'll find in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the Bible says to ask. Any objections? Oh, get overruled. The Bible says, ask. Now I'm just going to, let's just talk. We're friends. Pastor to the congregation, friends to friends, heart to heart. Examine yourself right now. What do you need? What are you facing? What is it that will drag through our experience in Christ, half times miserable and defeated? I'm telling you, ask. Just simply ask Him. If you have sin in your life, He'll forgive you. If you have issues, you got whatever it is, ask. The Bible tells us to ask Him anything. Hear me today, friend. He tells us that. But the second thing is this, who are we asking? I don't know if you're this way or not, but when somebody sometimes looks at me and says, whatever it is I can do for you, whatever it is, just ask me. I don't know if it's because of my man or what. I'll do whatever I can to do it myself first. And then later on, when I have no other option, about broke my neck trying to do something, I'm going to ask you. In our old apartment, there was a woman underneath of us, and her husband was sick, and she would come in juggling grocery bags and everything else. And I say, ma'am, can I help you? No, I've got it. Next day I look out the window, I'm telling you, she's tumbling, going back and forth this way and that way. I say, hey, I can help you with that. No. I finally came to the realization she'd rather break her neck than me help her. I said to myself, hey, just I'll help you. That's all you got to simply do. But what it is, she's just like I am and you are at times when somebody says whatever you need, it's just that natural tendency, maybe pride a little bit. You say, look, I think I can handle it all by myself. But I'm telling you, friend, at all times you feel like we are intruding on somebody when somebody tells us to ask that. But I want to tell you, you are not intruding on God. You know, we'll get down and pray and say, God, I know you're busy. It's me again, Lord. God, if you could spare just a few moments. I know this is small. I know this is really to you, God. I think to myself, I don't even know why I'm praying this. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, I don't even know why this is in my mind. But Lord, do you? He doesn't mind. What I'm trying to present to you today is this. If it's small or big, ask.
Yes. Yes.
Ask.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember before me and my wife was married, I was praying about the will of God. And man, I don't know if that's just the teenage spiritual warfare or what. Just trying to get married. Lord, hold off. Don't come back till I get married. And Lord, I just want to get married and have kids. You know all that? What a mind battle, man. But you know what? One day I got down and I just began to ask the Lord. You know what the Lord said? I'll give you the desires of your heart. Be patient. Follow me. Listen. Pray. I remember one day I felt Sister Holly there was going to be my wife. What'd you do? I didn't go tell her. First of all, she was young. She was 15. Now I said, Lord, that's going to be a while. I said, Lord, it's going to be a little while. I said, but I felt you. I didn't tell her. You know what I kept doing? I asked. I prayed and asked the Lord not only who, but I asked the Lord when. Mm-hmm. I asked the Lord how. Mm-hmm. I asked the Lord, are you sure she ain't going to reject me? I asked Him everything. It was just that childlike faith. Well, God gave me the go. And eventually, I felt the go. I remember I was at church praying. I said, God, I know she's the one. I felt peace about it. And I didn't wait. The next day, I asked her. I was a year or so up the road. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how small it is or how big. You tell you why we have so much confusion in my generation? Because we've taken so much emphasis of seeking the will of God and asking Him to lead and guide you in everything that you do. Let me tell you why the divorce rate in America is rampant. I know there's situations. I ain't diminishing it. I'm just saying as a whole, It's out of control. You want to tell you why? People never asked. Let me tell you why. No, I'm not saying this is here either. Let me tell you why. I went to one church in one city and seen a guy sitting on the front pew. I said, "How you doing?" Met him. Next month I went and preached somewhere and he was sitting in another church on the front pew. He said, "God told me to come here." And then I went to another church the next month and he was sitting on another pew and God told him to go. He was three or four churches. You know what the problem was? He never asked. I read a story years ago about a woman that went to a church. And she was praying and said, "God told me to come here. God led me here in my spirit." And she went to leave just a few months later. And she asked the pastor, "What should I do? I feel like I should leave." He said, "Did God tell you to come?" "Yeah." He said, "Did God tell you to leave?" She said, "No." He said, "I'll hang tight." He said, "Does that matter? Ask!" God desires to lead us. God desires for you to be at peace and at harmony in His will. Now understand this, friend, today. When we look at this, why can we ask? The reason that we can ask is because Jesus Christ has made a way unto the throne of grace where asking is made easy and the answers are found. So the Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 6, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Now the next thing would be this. "Brother Derek, you're telling me to ask. How should I ask? I know who I'm asking, but how should I?" Now understand this, friend. I believe there's two ingredients that pleases the Lord when you ask Him. And the first is this: faith that God is sure to answer. The Bible says when you ask amiss. Which means you missed it. You didn't believe I was going to do it, friend. You didn't believe I could do it. And the second thing is this, is that God, I believe this, that when you come to God and you learn to ask in faith, the second thing is this, God doesn't mind you bringing God-sized requests. He loves when only He can do it. He loves it. Put me at a Red Sea, two mountains and the Pharaoh's army behind me, God will smile. Especially when somebody says, "We're going forward." He doesn't mind you asking. Hear me today, friend. I know I could sit here and talk about asking, but here in our text in the Bible, God gives us two different examples that encourages us to ask. There are two different parables. You can look in your Bible if you would like to look. The very first parable is found in the Luke chapter 5. And it said this, "And He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves." Let me put it in our terms. You've got an unexpected relative shows up at your door and he's hungry. He didn't call you and let you know. He didn't ring your cell phone. He didn't send you an email. It's 12 o'clock. "Hey, can I come in? And I'm hungry." Now you have to understand when this parable is given, it's not year 2014. It's in the times of Jesus Christ. It's back before they had electricity. It's back before they had stoves. It's back before they had running water. It's back before they had that communication to where they could just pick up the phone and call. It's saying when you had that unexpected guest, it's an unexpected relative, and they're hungry, they're tired from the journey, and they're knocking on your door. So you go into the kitchen, you open the cabinet, and you ain't got a thing to eat. You knew you should have went grocery shopping, but you didn't. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, you're in perplexity, you don't have nothing to give them, they're hungry, so you go to your neighbor's house, you knock on their door, and you say, "Hey, can I borrow some loaves? Can I borrow something to eat?" And they answer back to you, "Go away, you're crazy. It's midnight, I'm asleep, my children are asleep, go away." Now, just imagine again. At this time, most times the families were in one room. They didn't have three-bedroom houses. And they didn't have nice sofas and couches and all that stuff. All of them slept on the floor. The kids and the parents even slept in the same room. He was saying, "Quit knocking," pretty much. "Go away before you wake up everybody." And the Bible goes on to say, "He will not arise and give you." But He goes on to say this, because He keeps on knocking, because He keeps on asking, because His importunity, which means He will not go away, I better get up and give Him what He wants, or He's going to drive me crazy and wake up my whole entire family.
Understand that.
But the Bible goes on to say this. He says in verse 5, and a friend of mine is on his journey. He goes on, but you go down, he says this, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So the first thing we can get and draw encouragement from is this, is that when you pray, God is your friend. You're guilty as well as I am. We pray to God like He's a distant cousin or something. I'm maybe not all the time, but at times we do. We'll talk to Him. Lord, it's me again. You mind? But we understand this. God is not saying, look, He's going to ignore you like His friend. He said, if your earthly friend does that, I'm your heavenly friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ask me. Knock and it shall be opened. We understand here it has three different levels here. It says asking as it were. It's saying ask first. Then it says seek and it says knock. Asking is the simplest and requires no movement. Simply asking, Lord, please. But then when you get into the next phase of praying, it's seeking. It's when you know it's there. You cannot quite find the answer yet. Asking requires no movement, but seeking turns into asking. Seeking turns asking into an activity and a pursuit. But the next thing after that, you ask, you seek, and then you knock. Knocking on and on and on the door again and again signifies earnestness. It signifies even at times desperation. Now, I've been in all three of those. There's been times I've asked the Lord something. There's sometimes I've turned it into seeking. But there's sometimes I've been desperate. And I knew I had to get it. And if I didn't get it, I didn't know if I could make it. I didn't know if I could survive. I wondered this morning if somebody in this house, somebody may know what I'm talking about. You're at that place of desperation. You're at that place you need something from God. You're at that place you must receive. You don't know if you can keep on going unless God moves on your behalf. But hear me today. It was midnight and he was bothering his friend. I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter if it's midnight, 1 a.m., 3 p.m., it doesn't matter what time of the day it is. You're not going to bother God. It could be a Sunday morning just like this. You're not going to bother God. I'm going to move along and I won't be much longer. We'll pick up in our next parable. It reads here in verse 11. You can read along if you desire. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Now, I'm not here to judge anybody, but if your son comes to you and says, Daddy, I'm hungry, I want a piece of bread, and you give him a rock, you're pretty sorry. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but that's the way it is. Those of you that are fathers here, and your son comes up to you and says, Dad, man, I am really hungry. Toss a rock at him. Don't break your teeth, son. Wouldn't be right, would it? Or if he comes up to you and says, hey, Dad, can I have a piece of fish? No, but here's a serpent. Be careful. Or if he comes up to you and says, Dad, can I have an egg? No, here's a scorpion. Watch out. Do you hear how extreme that sounds? That's what God was saying. He's saying, look, you as a dad wouldn't dare do that to your children. You love them. You care for them. You would give, if your son come to you and is really hungry, I mean, he wants some cotton candy. He really wants something to eat. He's hungry. As a dad, you're going to say, son, of course, here. Matter of fact, you can have mine. The Bible goes on to say, if you being evil, which means you being earthly, know how to give your children good gifts, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give us what? He says, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I don't know if you caught that or not, but God's trying to show us something. You come to the Lord and you have a need. He looks at you and says, here's my Holy Ghost. You get that? It's like going to the doctor. He said, look, I'm not going to give you a pill. I'm going to go home with you. Right. It's that place the Lord saying, look, I'm not just going to give you a temporary fix. I'm giving you myself. Yeah. That day of Pentecost, let me tell you what was happening. God was saying, look, here's my Spirit. And no matter what you need, it can be that for you.
He's a comforter. He's your best friend. He'll be there even in the middle. He will never leave you. He will abide with you forever.
Hear me today, friend. You say at times with the dark, I have prayed and I did not feel the presence of God. I did not feel His Holy. The Holy Ghost aid me. Understand this. It could be this. You could have been asking for. You could have been asking for something that was going to be a detriment. You could have been asking for bread, but it really was a serpent. And God withheld it from you. But God promises us in His Word that God will give you everything that you need and every good gift. Now you have to get this or you'll miss the whole message and miss the importance of this. Throughout the Bible, prayer and the Holy Ghost are always tied together. Always. You'll find Jesus on a 40-day fast in the wilderness, praying and fasting. He overcomes the tempter, and the Bible says He left that wilderness in the power of the Holy Ghost. You'll read throughout the Bible. We have so many different examples. It is no accident that Luke tells us in 3:21 that while Jesus was praying and when He came up from being baptized, that while Jesus was praying, that the Holy Ghost descended on Him in the form of a dove. It was while Jesus was praying.
Amen.
There's no accident that in Acts chapter 2, it was at the end of a 10-day prayer vigil that the Holy Ghost poured out into the upper room. It was not by accident that in Acts chapter 4, that when the government and the Jews would persecute them, the disciples gathered themselves in the room and prayed. The place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now hear me. Hear me well. Everyone underneath the sound of my voice, we need that precious Holy Ghost in our life. I know it ain't taught and preached, but without God, without God's help, and with God's help and everything else, I need His help to preach it for us to understand that Holy Ghost is the life of the church. He is the one that escorts Christ into your life. He is the one that testifies of Christ in your life. We need the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I can tell you how to identify false doctrine and false schisms and isms even in the body of Christ. Anything that begins to derail the Holy Ghost is wrong. He desires to move in every life in here today. But He does it out of love. Because it's a gift. The Lord said, when you ask of Me and you have that need, when you have that need, you ask Me, I'll give it. You say, I'm going through discouragement. You need the Holy Ghost to move in your life. You say, Brother Derek, I'm sick and need healing in my body. That Holy Ghost will lead you into healing. He'll testify of the stripes that were borne on Christ's back. He'll remind you, put your faith in this. It works. As my wife comes to the piano, understand that the Holy Ghost is always tied to prayer. And not only is it always tied to prayer, but the Holy Ghost represents wisdom and strength and comfort and joy and peace. God, give us this Holy Ghost. And when it comes to being full and being filled with His Spirit, it's always tied, now I want you to get this, to hunger and thirst. If you'll notice, that second parable dealt with the fact of this. It said, if you had a child that came to you and asked of bread, asked of a fish, asked of an egg, it all represents that child is hungry. And the Bible tells us throughout the Bible, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to talk to you from my heart what God dealt with me in prayer. The reason that many do not get filled or moved on or encouraged is because they're not hungry for it. You ever try to act hungry? It don't work. I've said that. I may have said it here before. I said, usually you learn that in the first few years of marriage. You're just trying to learn how to get, you know, how to stop going out to eat as much and all this. And you eat something at a restaurant, then you come home and your wife's already cooked. You're like, oh no. I don't know if I can do it. Isn't it good? Yes, real good. Why aren't you eating more? Well, I ate earlier. You can't act hungry. Don't you ever think we can come to the house of God and just appear to be, Lord, I'm so hungry. I lift my hands. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. I've got everything else in my mind. I'm so full of everything else. Cares and worries. Fill me, Lord. He will. To the space that is made available. But you know what we need? Everyone in this church, including myself, my wife, as a church. You want me to tell you how we're going to see revival right here in the Abundant Life Tabernacle? We're going to be hungry and thirsty for a move of God. You're going to come to church, you're going to say, I want to worship. You're going to come to church and say, teach me! Preach to me! I'm hungry! You're going to carve out them places in your life. You're going to be all by yourself at home and nobody knows about it. At times you may get up a little early, a good bit a little later. I know we're busy. But you've got to make time. You have to make time. I know we work jobs. I know we're busy. I know that. But understand, the Bible says this, that David said, Lord, hear my prayers, but consider my meditations. You know, there's been times when I was evangelizing, I had an 8 or 9 hour ride ahead of me. Had to preach that night. Be honest with you, I didn't have time to get on my knees. But while going down the road with my hands on the steering wheel, I was meditating on the things of God. Hear me, friend. We must hunger. We must thirst. You can ask God anything today. You can ask God anything. I read a story one time, if you would stand to your feet today, those of you the able body. I read a story one time of a pastor that was seeing revival, and I've had it confirmed multiple times, it's a true story, that this pastor was seeing revival, drug addicts were coming in, prostitutes being saved. And one night he was driving by his church and he seen the lights on and the door was left open to the sanctuary. He thought to himself, those sorry drug addicts have broken the church. Lord, you say, why are you doing this? Lord, why? Trying to help people, and all of a sudden this happens. The Lord spoke to that preacher and said, pull in here. I'm going to show you why you're seeing revival. His pastor pulled into the parking lot of the church. He goes up to the door. It was creaked open. He pushed it open a little bit. And he said, as he was walking, he heard somebody praying. And he said, as he walked into the sanctuary through the double doors, he walked and he said he heard somebody crying out to the Lord. This pastor had a young Down syndrome boy in his church. He was out there praying. And this is a true story from what I understand. That Down syndrome boy was praying just like this. He said, Lord, me ask you for souls. You give me souls. Lord, we ask you to save me. Lord, you save me. Now, Lord, I just want to tell you, I love you. I love you. That pastor took that precious handicapped boy the next Sunday and put him up in front of the church and said, this is why God is moving. Let me tell you why. That young boy with childlike faith didn't mind asking God to save a brother that's a drug addict. He didn't mind asking God to do the biggest things. I wonder today if God could cultivate that childlikeness in us and we could simply just ask the God of heaven to move in our lives, whatever it is. I know on Sunday mornings we usually just stand around the front, but it'd be all right this morning if those that would, you can still stand if you want, but if there's some of you have something you want to ask God about, if you have something in your heart you want to talk to the Lord about, I want you to have the audacity to ask the Almighty this morning. If you're lost here, all you got to simply do is ask Him. He'll forgive you. He'll come into your heart. If you're here today and you're discouraged, going through the throes of the battle, ask the Lord for peace. He'll give it to you. If you're here today and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, ask out of hunger. Ask God. If you say, look, Brother Dick, I really want it. Ask God to give you a hunger. Yes. Ask God to give you a thirst. You tell me where that comes from? It comes from tasting it. Hallelujah. I desire steak because I tasted it. God, help this generation taste it, Brother Glenn, just a little bit. They don't say, I hunger for that. That's what I want. So do things a little different today if you will find a place to pray. Everybody, anybody that would empty your pews today, come out of your pews and find your place to pray. Anybody. It's a general order called move. Move out of the pews. Talk to the Lord. And let God help you today. Let Him move in your life. Kneel and pray. Whatever you do, ask the Lord. Ask Him to move in your life. Everybody's welcome to these altars. If you're a guest, you're welcome to pray. It doesn't matter who you are today. Ask. Ask. God, in the name of Jesus.